Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll begin reading at verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I would ask that you'd bless, Lord, the preaching of your Bible. May it be an encouragement to those that are in the habit, Lord, the life habit. They've given themselves to this matter of proclaiming and spreading the word of God. Lord, I pray that it would encourage those of us that have given our lives to this, and it would, Lord, also enlist those that perhaps are not doing as they should, Lord, as much as they could. Challenge all of us, Lord. Help us to understand the importance of the Bible, and Lord, the wonderful part that we are allowed to have, Lord, in this miraculous promise that we're going to look at tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Going to notice a shift in the schedule going forward. We do have some things we need to wrap up. And man, I would encourage you to stick with Brother Gordon here as we work towards getting the rest of the siding on. We need to get that thing finished up. And so look for announcements on the prayer chain as he alerts you to opportunities to help with that. But we're going to start gearing things down. We always do by this time of year. And we in the November and in December, if you look at our schedule, our church schedule, there's not a whole lot extra things that are planned. I want to say this as a preacher, just thank you for working so hard. And it's just been a busy year and a busy summer and a busy fall. We try to back off a little bit during the holidays. We want you to have family time. We want you to have time to celebrate the holidays. January, I've learned this, January is not a great month in Indiana to launch any aggressive outreach ministries. And so we do some as far as interior things, as far as training. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. We're not shutting the church down for the next 3 months. We're going to have services. We're going to have soul winning. We're going to have outreach. But we do kind of slow things back just a bit. We'll be ordering this week, actually, we'll be ordering over 2,000. Well, I thought we usually did 1,000, I know, but I want to up it a little, 2,000 Christmas tracts. One of the things that we try to do, and we'll talk about this in the message, is try to make sure that we are reminded that even though maybe we're slowing down in the church's planned scheduling, we still want to be busy spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at every opportunity. I think holidays give a different type of opportunity for that, and so we will equip you for that and give you a chance to be involved in that. I want to preach a message tonight out of this portion of Scripture. And the name of the message is, Make It Rain, Make It Rain. Listen, if you will, to this portion of Scripture. Let's work our way down through this portion of Scripture. It starts out by encouraging those of us that maybe are away from the Lord to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he's near. And then especially, verse 7, a warning to the wicked and the unrighteous man. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. And by the way, if he's returning, that means at one time he was there. And so this is talking to somebody that used to walk with the Lord, used to be close to the Lord. And you know what? They've chosen a different path, a different way, a wicked way. They've changed their thinking to the thinking of an unrighteous man. And you know, aren't you glad that God gives this invitation? Can I read the rest of it? And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will, I love this, abundantly pardon. I think the biggest lie the devil tells a prodigal, biggest lie the devil tells somebody that's maybe not where they used to be with the Lord is that you can't get back, or that God's holding a grudge, or that you can't be forgiven. I want to say it again. For he, speaking of God, will abundantly pardon. Yes, sounds like he's got plenty of pardon left and plenty of pardon available. And so it's an encouraging thing to know, because folks, all of us from time to time is going to get off track a little bit, get backslidden a little bit. Come on now. All of us from time to time will get away from the Lord a little bit. And you know what? It's a wonderful thing to be able to say, hey, if that becomes my case, I can come here and be assured that if I'll just forsake my wicked ways and turn away from my unrighteous thoughts and ask the Lord to forgive me, that he will have mercy and he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8 and 9, we learn something about the Lord. Now, let me start breaking this down, give you some introductory points here, all right? Number one, we do not understand the thoughts of the Lord nor the ways of the Lord. Now, let's kind of settle that, okay? We do not understand the thoughts of the Lord nor the ways of the Lord. He says here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then he says this, for as the heaven are higher than the earth. By the way, it's just not a little bit of difference between us and God in the way he thinks and the way we think, and the way we walk and the way he wishes we would walk. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we do not understand the thoughts of the Lord nor the ways of the Lord. So many things about God we can't even comprehend. I was reading years ago out of Isaiah 57, just a chapter over, two chapters over. And I read this, for thus saith, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. And it's like my brain just slammed on the brakes right there. And I tried to do something that I've done so many times as I've learned things about God. And that's with my limited intelligence, with my limited thoughts, my limited ways, I tried to understand just that one part about God. It says here that he inhabiteth in eternity. So all of a sudden, as I began to ponder that, I thought, you know, God inhabits eternity. And Jesus said, you know, he is the I am. He is the I am. Never when you talk about God, you can never say he was. He's just I am. So he's not a time traveler. He's a time inhabiter. He inhabits eternity. He's much present right now as he was before the foundation of the earth. He's just as much present right now as he will be a zillion million years from now. You think about that. You say, preacher, I can't comprehend that. Yeah, it's good. We're going through a little exercise here. His ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts so far above our thoughts. So think about that. We hear that the concept, the Bible doctrine of the Trinity. Is there one God or is there three gods? Preacher, is there one or is there three? My answer is yes. Well, I don't understand it. Well, good. We're starting to get to where we need to get to. Folks, there's so many things that the Bible gives us about the Lord that I don't think we can fully comprehend. The Bible does say there's just one God. I can take you to several places where it says there is one God, but he chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct, separate personalities. I don't need to understand that. I just need to believe it. So we do not understand the thoughts of the Lord nor his ways. Number two, knowing this, the Lord explains some things to us in a way that we can understand it. So the Lord in the Bible will sometimes take a concept that there's no way that we can understand, and then he brings it down and uses something here on earth as an illustration so that we can at least have some measure of understanding about his ways and how he accomplishes things, his thoughts and how he sees things. And by the way, let me just say this to children's workers. I believe this. I believe it's a gift. I believe that some of the people in our church that are doing the most to influence lives for the Lord Jesus Christ are those children's church workers and those Sunday school teachers that can sometimes take complex biblical principles and just be able to package them in such a way so that the children can understand it. Don't ever say, well, I'm just a junior church worker. I'm just a children's church worker. I'm just a Sunday school teacher. Mercy sakes, that takes the wisdom of God. It takes, I think, the help of the Holy Spirit of God. It takes time on your knees in front of your Sunday school lesson saying, what does Pastor want us to teach this week? Are you kidding me? I've got 4 and 5 year olds. How am I going to do this? But isn't it interesting that if you listen to the voice of God, he'll show you how to take some of those concepts and bring it down to children And let me say, folks, let's humble ourselves a little bit. There's a lot more distance between us and God than there is an adult and a child in the human race. So, by the way, I think great youth pastors, great youth preachers, I always tell them when they ask advice about preaching young guys, it's about packaging. You've got to be able to take a truth, a complex truth, and you've got to package it in such a way so that young people can understand it. They can get it. They can relate to it. They can learn it. God can fashion it to their hearts. Jesus, by the way, was the master at this teaching style. His use of parables, his ability to take complex spiritual truths and package and deliver them to the common man by using earthly illustrations they could relate to. I mean, just if you want to learn about teaching and preaching, follow Jesus. He's the best example of everything. Think about that. I wrote this down. Be careful. A prideful preacher preaches in such a way that the people leave thinking that man sure is smart. A practical preacher preaches in such a way that the people leave thinking that truth sure did help me. And so we're not up here to display our intellect. We're here to take the complex principles of God's word and put it down so that the common man can walk away and say, I needed that. I got that. Thank you, Lord. So God says we do not understand the thoughts of the Lord nor his ways. Number two, knowing this, the Lord explains some things to us in a way that we can understand. Number three, gets us to verse number 10. He likens the spreading of his words to rain and to snow. So he just said, my ways are so far above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. Now, so I want to talk to you about something, but I'm going to bring it down and illustrate it in a way that you can get it. So verse 10, he says, for as the rain cometh down. And by the way, we can all understand the rain coming down. Can I get an amen? All right. If you were trying to get from your car to the church this morning, and as you were trying to get the young people to the bus, and as we were trying to get the children over to children's church, all of us can understand the rain coming down. But it doesn't just stop there. And the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. And then he says this, so I'm going to talk about something that I know you've seen, I know you can relate to, and I know that you have a measure of understanding. Now, let me see if I can take one of my high ways, my high thoughts, and bring it down so that you can understand what I'm trying to accomplish, okay? You say, well, it sounds like God's talking down to us. That's the only way he can talk to us. Yeah. Let's get our stinking pride out of the way. Yeah. Okay. All right, amen? Yeah. Trust me. Yes. If he's going to talk to us, he's going to have to talk down to us. Yes. All right. Well, it's a good day in your life when you decide God's smarter than you. Yeah, I mean, it's a hallelujah day. If I could just get some Christians to really believe that God knows more than them, and that they can start growing in the Lord. But notice, watch this. So, verse 11, shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Wait a minute. Just like the rain comes down, the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Wow, wow. So let's ponder this a minute, okay? So number three, he likens the spreading of his words to rain and to snow. Watch this. God not only produces the rain and snow, folks, he does produce it. But you know, God's so much more specific than that. According to this verse, he said, I know where every seed is, and I know how much rain it needs. You see, folks, get this. Watch this. God not only produces, he doesn't just turn the fountain on and off. You know what God does? He directs. Boy, I want to brag on my God. I want us to understand how high his ways are. He directs every raindrop to where he wants it to land. He directs every snowflake to land in a precise, predetermined spot. So can God do that? His ways are so far above our ways. His thought, hey, listen, if he knows the number of the hairs on your head, I just think we've got this idea that things just happenstance. But I'm telling you, folks, God is in control of things. And God knows where the seed is that's waiting for the water. And God can take, listen, when we look outside, when you see rain falling, we look outside and the snow and We're going to just see the snowflakes falling, and yet we do not stop to consider that God is directing every single one of them to exactly where he wants them to be. Now, kind of soak that in for a minute, okay? I left when we were out west in September. We were in Butte, Montana, and from there, Cheryl flew to California, and I went up in the mountains and hunted for a few days, and then when I got close to the next Sunday, I came back out of the mountains on Saturday morning after we hunted. Brother Lowen, still, I don't know if he's forgiven me or not. I was determined that last morning to get up to the top of the mountain. I felt like all the time we were hunting in the mornings. Boy, you need to hear about this. This is elk hunting. This is really important. Okay, Luke, me and you will have a conversation about this. But we were waiting till light before we headed up the mountain. And I felt like we were chasing the elk up the mountain. They're already headed up. I said, brother, we got to pull a Ron Dirksen. We got to get up before dark. We got to get up there at the top of the mountain and be waiting when the sun comes up. And the one thing that made Brother Lowen, and by the way, he's from out west, and because of that, he's a lot smarter than me when it comes to things out west. But we had noticed quite a bit of grizzly scat throughout the mountains. And so he's like, now let me get this right. You know, you want us to go up the mountain while it's still dark? I said, yes. Get ahead of them. Yes. He said, where there's grizzly. And I'm like, yes. And so, you know what, I've always kind of come across, had this way of thinking, and I know there's a place where you've got to stop and use common sense. I haven't ever found that place, but I know that there is a place you should stop and use common sense. But I've always kind of just been to the opinion that if God knows where I'm at, and if he wants me and it's my time, I don't suppose there's any way I'm hiding from it. So anyway, we did climb that mountain. We did climb that mountain. In the dark. He was praying a lot, I think, and I don't think he'll ever want to go hunting with me again, but that has nothing to do with the illustration. I left Saturday afternoon, Butte, Montana, and we're driving over to, I drove to Challis, Idaho, and I was going to preach that Sunday in a church in Challis. And that drive from Butte, Montana to Challis, Idaho, one of the most beautiful drives I've ever taken, and a lot of it follows along the Salmon River there, and just beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous drive. And several times because of the way the road snakes, about three different times there was a sign at the top of a peak of a mountain where it said the Continental Divide. Now, the Continental Divide, folks, runs along the top of the Rocky Mountains, and it's interesting because it literally divides the United States into two areas. Now, I want you to think about our God. You realize as a raindrop is falling towards that Continental Divide, that if it lands on the left side of the Continental Divide line, that raindrop eventually will end up in the Pacific Ocean. If it lands 1 inch over, I'm talking about if you're right on the line, it will eventually land and end up in the Atlantic Ocean. And you know what? I have a God that knows where every raindrop needs to go. Now, folks, why are we here? Because we're getting down to a very practical truth here. And it's concerning the Word of God and the words of God. So stay with me. Number four, God not only produces the rain and snow, but he directs every raindrop, every snowflake to land in a precise and predetermined spot. Number five, God then includes men in this process. Think about this. What are you talking about? God will include men in this process because in verse number 11, it says, just the way I control the rain, just the way I control the snowflakes, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent. Now, God said this, if I can direct the raindrop, I can direct my words. Okay? I can direct my words. I can direct what a person needs, when they need it, how they need it. I can get the words to them. Now think about that. And he said, when I send forth my words, it will accomplish. Think about it. It will accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Now, here's what's neat about that. Watch this. God then invites men to be involved in the process by allowing us to proclaim his words, to share his words, to quote his words. Come on, think about this. To be involved in the getting out of the Word of God. Can I say this? We get to help God make it rain. We get to help God make it rain. We get to help God make it rain. God included us in the spreading of His Word. Matter of fact, He makes it a command. He commands us to take the gospel story to every creature. He commands all Christians to share the gospel story. Allows, by the way, many to teach the Bible. Boy, never take that for granted. Anytime you're allowed to stand before anybody and open a Bible, and you know what? You are helping God's Word be proclaimed. So He invites us to be involved in the process. He calls some to preach the Bible. And you know what? Every single Christian, whether you're called into full-time service, called to preach or not, you can have a part in helping God make it rain. Every time the Word of God is proclaimed, is shared, is spread, is spoken, is text, is posted, is printed and published, it produces raindrops of evangelism and revival. And God says, you make it rain. I love this. I want to give you something. You make it rain and I'll direct the raindrops. You make it rain and I'll direct the raindrops. You make it rain and I'll direct the raindrops. And God chooses to enlist our help in this. The Bible says in the last days, in the days of Israel, by the way, there was a famine in the land. It wasn't a famine of bread. It wasn't even because of a drought of real rain. It was a famine of the Word of God. Is that because God's Word wasn't available? Was it because there was no copies of God's Word? No, heaven and earth shall pass away. My Word shall not pass away. Can I ask you something? Why was there a drought? Come on, we can't point a finger at God and say, because you withheld your words. No, there was the words of God. Guess what? People weren't preaching it. People weren't, you know why? What's happening in America? Oh, we can't say this there. We can't say that there. We can't say that there. You know, if I was a Christian public school teacher, I'd get fired tomorrow morning. No, I would. I'd make them fire me. I don't get this whole idea where all of a sudden there's certain jobs, certain circumstances where we don't have freedom of speech. And as a Christian, it's not even based on the Constitution. It's based on the commands of God's word. You know why? Come on. You know why America's going to the hell tonight? You know why we're on a fast track to destruction? Because a bunch of Christians says, well, we can't. And God says, you're supposed to. But mankind has intimidated us. We can't share the Bible. We can't quote the Bible. We can't bring our Bible. We can't read our Bible. You know, you can't bring religion into it. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. Well, it's amazing because all I've seen is they want us to stay out of their business, but they sure haven't stayed out of my business lately. And it's an all an intimidation thing. Come on, folks. We have an obligation to help make it rain. I want you to get this because here's the promise. This is what's so excited about what I'm trying to get across. I don't know if I'm doing a good job. God then promises to direct every word of God to a precise and predetermined destination. He's like, if you'll speak it forth, I'll direct it. Hey, teacher, if you'll teach it, I'll take care of the rest. If you'll text it, then I'll make sure it lands where it needs to go. If you'll post it, then I'll make... You know what, folks, listen to me. You realize every time in any way, and I want this applied to your personal life, I want you to understand, you do not have to have a pulpit to help make it rain. But every single chance you have to share the Word of God, then you've produced some rain and you then have done what you can do and it's up to God and His promises and He keeps His promises to say, you just let my Word go forth and let me worry about what it does because I promise you, my word will not return unto me void. So that gives all of us an opportunity to help make it rain. I don't know how many truly born-again Christians there are, and I'm not talking about just independent fundamental Baptist people. Thank God there's a lot of folks that are saved. I go to all kinds of different churches. I just think to myself, what if every Christian decided just start tomorrow making it rain? Just making it rain. Just making it rain. How do I do that? Well, you're not going to do it with your words. I'm not going to do it with my words. We got to do it with the Word of God. That's the promise. It's attached to God's words that come out of His mouth. So that means we've got an opportunity. Think about that. This is exciting to me. Here's the promises. Not one raindrop of Scripture will return void. Every drop will accomplish what God pleases. Every raindrop will prosper in some divine purpose. And you and I have a chance to be a part of it. Wow. Some of us get to do this. Some of us, God calls us to this. You know, people ask me about my voice, and I apologize. It's gravelly. I worry about folks having to listen to me growl through sermons, not speak through sermons. And thank you. Many of you pray for my voice, and I appreciate it. I've kind of just decided this is what it's going to be. I used to try to conserve it, preserve it, and maybe try to pipe down a little. I've decided, you know what? If I'm going to wear this thing out, I'm going to wear it out. Just by being an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher, I'm going to shout it out and just have a sore throat all the time. And you know, if you got to wear something out, it's a good way to wear it out. You know what I'm doing? Tonight I'm trying to make it rain. I'm trying to make it rain. You know what? Pretty soon this old voice is going to give out. I watched my daddy came to his finish line. The Bible calls it, he went the way of all men. You know what? I watched a generation of preachers just preach. You know what? They're all in heaven now. And you know what? My generation, I'm serving my generation by the will of God and preaching. And you know what? There'll be a day when it's my time to lay it aside. Let's drop the mantle. Who's going to catch it? Who's going to catch it? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we know that verse. That's the last verse we go to as we're presenting the plan of salvation. But there's verses that follow. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I want to say to a young generation of men, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Say, it's not God's will for everyone to preach. No, but it's God's will for some in every generation. Excited as I go across the country, in and out, and again, this year, it's been a very unusual year. And those of you that are a little upset at the preacher for being gone so much, I apologize. I had all of 2020 canceled. Those same people that couldn't have me in 2020 called and said, I canceled you last year. Could you come this year? But I already had some things on 2021. And folks, I don't always know whether I get it right or wrong. I try to listen to God. I try to go out and preach and do what I can. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to make it rain. Trying to make it rain. You know, coming here, holding your hand makes you feel better. Well, you know, you should slow down. Well, maybe some of you should speed up. And by the way, if I can make it rain out there and I can see the fruits of it and I keep coming here and preaching and y'all just keep staring at me, then I'll see you around. I'll be a little in and out. I know that I'm here, and I know this is what God's called me to do. And I take pastor seriously, but I also take this promise seriously. In every single way I can, I'm going to make it rain. Every once in a while, a preacher needs to say this, you know, folks, from here to here to here. When it comes to my preaching, when, where, how long, where I go, what I do, none of your business. No, it's good for you to hear that every once in a while. None of your business. I don't answer to you for that. I answer to God. You never called me to preach. God called me to preach. So if you ever think you're going to control that area of my life, good luck. Good luck. You know why? Because we got a drought. We got a famine going on in America. Preacher, you ought to slow down. Maybe some young men ought to surrender. Hey, I'd like to take some time off. Trust me. You know, I mean, I'm looking for that next generation coming up that not only is called to preach, but got the touch of God and the power of God on them. You know, folks, there's some preachers out there, dry as toast, heartless, no power, no anointing. I'm just telling you, the reason that a handful of us old timers, the phone just keeps ringing and ringing and ringing. What we need is not just a young generation of preachers to surrender, but a young generation of preachers to go find God. Give themselves to the preaching of the word of God. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show the people your sin. Preach! 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 We need preachers. We need preachers. I believe this is the rapture generation. I believe that God's right now calling the last group of young men that'll probably preach us to the finish line, preach us till the trumpet sound. You be a part of that? I can't call you to preach. Your parents can't call you to preach. No use being mama called, preacher sent. That ain't going to work. But don't tell me God's not calling. I don't believe that across the country, God's not calm. We just went up to Fairhaven. A couple of young men surrendered to preach. We need 10,000 young preachers. We got any chance of turning this guy? I mean it. First time I said it was a Fairhaven. I've been praying about it, Brother Gordon. We need 10,000 young preachers. Amen. To just say, why don't we just take this country back? But you know, they're too busy on their phones and they're too busy on websites they shouldn't be on. They're too busy, you know, chasing a dollar or planning a career. Everybody wants to find a place to serve the Lord that's comfy. Right. Doesn't require much. Doesn't take much sacrifice. Just telling you. You know what we need? Preachers. We need preachers. I surrendered to preach. Greatest honor of my life that God would even consider me. You know what, folks? Listen to me for all these years now. Good night, over 40 years. Preached my first sermon behind a pulpit when I was 17 years of age. So do the math. Well over 40 years, I've just been preaching. There's a reason this thing sounds gravelly. Because you know what? If God opens the door, I'm going to go take my King James Holy Bible and I'm going to preach. Make it rain. Make it rain. Make it rain. Make it rain. Preach in children's church. Preach in to teenagers. Preach in nursing homes. It doesn't matter. Open the door. I've preached on the street corner. I've preached in city parks. I've preached in 38 of our 50 states. I mean, and I say no more than I say yes, because I am a pastor. But I'm hoping there's somebody that's got some anointing that says yes when I have to say no. We need preachers. 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 For 25 years, I gave part of every one of my summers, multiple weeks, to preach in teen camps and conferences across America. About 3 years ago, I told folk all the teen camps, I'm not coming anymore. And trying to keep things in balance, trying to do the best thing I can. But I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you this by testimony. Listen, you know what preaching is? Preaching is you making it rain and God directing the raindrops. Somebody's got to walk up and open the Bible and speak it out. Amen. And you know what? To trust God, to pray over the message, Brother Dave, and make sure the message is the one that God wants us to preach at that moment, at that time, in that place, and then preach it. You know what? Sometimes we don't see the results. Most of the time we don't see the results. But I promise you, anytime a man's preached, God takes that and he said, I'll accomplish what I need to accomplish with it. You can talk to Doug and Jenny Castle about this. This was back when they were in Posen, Illinois. He was a youth pastor there for Brother Stedman in Posen, Illinois, before they ever came to Bethel. They used to bring kids up to Cedar River Baptist Camp, and I preached there two years in a row. I actually preached there several years, but the second year that I ever preached there, me and Brother Terry Angels, they started putting us together and let us preach together. And I would tell you some of the greatest memories I have is preaching with Brother Angel up there at Cedar River Baptist Camp, just preaching. First year I was there, on a Thursday morning, I preached a message entitled, Second Most Important Decision of Your Life. The second year I went there, I said, well, I preached that last year. I'm going to preach something else. And all week long, God kept bringing me back to this message, second most important decision of your life. And I'm like, Lord, I preached it last year. A lot of the same churches, they heard that. Lord, I've got a better message. Look at this. Look at this one. This is really a good one. Really good. And I was just determined I was going to preach this Thursday morning. And closer it got, the more convicted I got, and the more I decided I wasn't listening. You say, preacher, you shouldn't be this honest. Well, come on. Come on, you can be a preacher and still fuss with God. You can be a preacher preaching and be disobedient. Listen, if we're going to work with God to make it rain, then we might want to listen to God as far as what he wants us to bring. So Thursday morning came and I'm heading to the chapel and I took one sermon with me to the chapel, just one, the one I wanted to preach. I got about halfway across the parking lot and God just kind of said, okay, I'll wait here. What do you mean you'll wait here? You got this. I'll just wait here. You get done doing your thing. So I just kept walking. And guess what? He waited there. I got all the way to the door. This is terrible. Some of you look at me like, yeah. It was a good sermon, folks. It was a good great illustrations. And I got to the front of the chapel. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you as a preacher, you can go up there and preach without God. You can go up there and preach without God. But you know what? You preach without God. You preach without God. And I got right to the door and I went, And I walked back, headed all the way back, past where God was waiting, and then back to my cabin. And I took the sermon that I was doing, and I threw it up in the air. And I picked up the sermon on second most important decision. I put it in my Bible, and I walked back. And I sat there on the platform, upset, because all these people are going to think I'm stupid because I'm preaching the same message I preached last year. They're going to think I don't have any other new messages. And I got up and I said, this morning I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to preach a message I preached last year entitled, Second Most Important Decision of Your Life. I'm going to talk about this morning the importance of waiting. This is how enthusiastic I was. On the importance of waiting for God's perfect will in marriage partner. As soon as I said that, this girl about halfway down on this left-hand side, sitting right beside Jenny Castle, went out loud, and I went, and I thought, well, that's strange. And I began to preach the message. And as I preached the message, I kept catching her eye, and tears were running down her face. And I got almost to the end of the message, and she doesn't even get to the end. She breaks out, stumbles across girl's legs, comes running up and falls down. And here comes Sister Jenny chasing her up to the altar. And I thought, maybe this is the time to close the message. And Sister Jenny Castle told me later, she said, preacher, she said, we were up till about 2 in the morning because she's involved in a relationship that's not good. It's not biblical. It's not right. And you know what she told me before she went to bed? She said, I'll tell you what, if Pastor Ross gets up tomorrow and preaches on the subject of not dating the right kind of person, then I'll give him up. But if it doesn't happen, then I'm not. And you can't tell him. You know, folks, if we're going to be involved in this thing, we ought to include God in it, amen? You know what I was reminded of, by the way? I heard that story afterwards, and all the way back to my cabin, you can imagine how that walk was. I went back to my cabin, I got on my knees and said, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Folks, you know what you say? Well, preacher, you ought not to do that. How many times has God spoken to your heart to say something, to share a verse with somebody, to witness with somebody? It's just as big a sin for a layman to walk past an opportunity and not do what God says as it is for a preacher to walk behind a pulpit and preach the wrong message. I want to hasten, but listen, I want to, you know, encourage you. Yeah, we're going to dial things back as far as our extra stuff, but we're not dialing back soul winning. We're not shutting down buses. Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have every service. We're going to preach. We're going to preach. Say, well, preacher, I'm not called to preach. How can I make it rain? Man, knock those doors, soul winners. So encouraged to be able to go back and see that map. Two more sections completed this week. You don't know what that does to that preacher's heart. Say, preacher, well, a lot of times I come back and don't feel like I've done any good. You ever had somebody ask you when you come back from soul winning, do you have any good business? And you're just sitting there trying to think of anything that you could just share that would show that God was in any of it. And you'll knock doors and a lot of people aren't home, and you'll knock doors and the people that are home look like you're an aggravation, a bother to them. And yet, watch this. You're hanging the Word of God on every door. You're witnessing and sharing the Word of God as you are allowed to. And God says, stop worrying about whether or not it looks like it's doing any good. I can direct the raindrops. Folks, I want to read you this promise. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing wherein I send it. You know what? The answer ought to be every time you go visit. Hey, do you have any good visits? Every visit was a great visit. Every visit you're allowed to leave the gospel tract, leave the Bible, leave the Word of God, I promise you that is a great visit, because you did what you were supposed to do. And I think God will do what he's supposed to do. So make it rain. Make it rain. Moms, look right up here. Read the Bible to those babies. Read the Word of God to those babies. Set them on your lap. Read the Bible to them. Long before they can read, just read the Bible to them. Say, well, does it seem like they understand? Let God place it in their hearts. Trust him to let the raindrops fall where they may. Dads, just keep having family devotions. Laymen, speak up for the Lord. Quote a verse to a co-worker. Share your testimony. Make it rain, make it rain, make it rain. And let God figure out where the raindrops need to land. My dad got saved at Rock Run Baptist Church. You know the story. The story I don't tell much is the difference that it made in his life at Andicom Aluminum Company. Once my dad got born again, I talked to men that worked with him, many of those who were unsaved when my dad got saved, and who got saved because Bob Ross decided that a Christian ought to go to work and talk about Jesus. And he just began to witness. He began to carry gospel tracts. He began to invite people to church. I had a man that worked with my dad during those years tell me, your dad was the most vibrant, fearless soul winner I've ever seen in my life. He said a measure of revival broke out at Andicom Aluminum Company because, you know what, your dad, Jerry Purcell, and a handful of other guys just decided they're taking the word of God to the workplace. Taking the word of God to the workplace. Take the word of God to the workplace. Take the word of God to the workplace. Hey, make it rain. Let God decide what he's going to do with it. I guess I want to say this. Sunday school teachers, teach the word. I know every Sunday morning we have a limited amount of time. I know there's different things you want to do, but don't pass up the most important thing. Crack open that King James Holy Bible and read it and explain it and let God direct the raindrops. Thank you, children's church workers. Thank you, junior church workers. It was a Sunday school teacher, by the way, that won D.L. Moody to the Lord. You know, I'd like to be that Sunday school teacher, have some of that reward on my account. Let's just, you don't know who's sitting in your class. Look right, but you have no idea who's sitting in your class. You don't know how, have any idea where that, what that Bible, where it's finding root, what it's doing in the hearts of young people. Just make it rain. You have a chance to pass out a gospel tract, do it. I mentioned we're going to order 2,000 Christmas tracts, and you know what? That's nothing for a size of this group. I mean, it's nothing. You know, one of the great things, I teach this every once in a while, something we call the power of the assembly. You know, whatever we do can be multiplied when we do it as a church. If a preacher passes out 10 tracts during the week, then that's 10 tracts. But if you show me 50 people that will say, I'll take that challenge, I'll do 10 tracts with him, all of a sudden, you think about that. 10 times 50, that's 500 gospel tracts that goes out. And you know what, folks? You take a group of young people. I'm going to say this about our teenagers, that every single Wednesday they go out. Thank you, Brother Gordon, for taking Miss Rachel for taking them, because you know what they're doing? They're making it rain. They're making it rain. Every single Wednesday they're out there just passing out gospel tracts, witnessing to people. Let's just stay busy doing what God has called us to do during the holiday seasons. Yeah, you know what? There won't be a whole lot of extra activities, youth activities. We're going to do our Christmas banquet, and then we're going to step back and get out of the way. And folks, there ain't going to be anything extra except Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Where's that for the most part? I mean, there's no extra special meetings next 3 months. We're just dialing it back. And again, let me say this. Thank you for working hard. And thank you for going the extra mile. But while we're doing that, doesn't mean the rain ought to stop. So let's take every opportunity. You see, because I do not know where the rain will land. Think about this. But I can help make it rain. Do not know what it will accomplish. But I can help make it rain. I do not know what eternal purpose it will advance. Think about this. Every single one of us, I think the Holy Spirit's speaking to you if you'll listen, can find a different way, a new way, a better way, to just take the Bible and get it out in front of people's hearts and in front of people's eyes. And you let God worry about where the raindrops land. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for including us in this. This is a miraculous work, a divine work. We cannot understand your ways. We cannot understand your thoughts. We can't see the world from your perspective. We do not understand all you're trying to accomplish. But Lord, what we can do is, in simple childlike faith, just be obedient. And say, if God says this about his word and attaches this kind of a promise to every time his words go forth, then I want to be a part of that. So I pray, Lord, in each person's life and in their circle of influence and the way that you lead them, Lord, I just pray, Lord, just help us to keep making it rain. And Lord, we trust you to do the rest. We pray these things in Jesus' name.